moon columns in the front with the west north X and the east transept. You know, it's those big houses. It's unbelievable. It's about
one
as big
of those
as
old big houses.
Mm-hmm. About as big as administration building.
How did he get into that position over there, Nick?
At the dean?
Yeah.
The dean? I don't know how that came about. That's really strange. I like
it seems more like he'd be on the board of trustees.
Well, he is.
Director.
Well, he is. He's everything.
Talk all the time.
Well, he's very one of these refined old gentlemen, boy. He.
You mean he's refined?
Oh yeah.
So yeah.
He's everybody treats him like you know, the lord of the manor, and he still lives that way too. It's unbelievable. When I came out the day before he left, Tuesday, he sent word to me by one of his servants, by a note, for me to present myself at 1 o'clock at his house. So I drove out at 1 o'clock. The chauffeur parked my car, and I was escorted into the sitting room.
In your jeans?
No, I dressed up. And so I was sitting in the sitting room, and then another servant came in and escorted me. He said, "The master will now see you in the study." And so I was escorted into the study where he was. And then we had our conversation about how the farrier was going to come to redo his horses 2 Saturdays from now. And I was to be there to make sure that they did it right.
So you said.
And then the servant showed me out, and another servant opened the door, and another servant brought my car around, and then off I went. But just the whole thing is just like that every day of his life. It's just, when I call up Ellen, say, well, Daddy hasn't made his entrance this morning yet. Or what is the word? What is that old formal? And made his appearance yet today. It's not like Dad hasn't come down yet. He hasn't made his appearance. And it's just like you see in the movies in the 18th century of the royalty in England. It's exactly that way. And boy, when he talks, every word he says is perfectly concise and just exactly what he meant to say, and it says it just exactly the way he wanted to say it, in just the right number of words, short, to the point, no beating around the bush, no pauses. He just says exactly what he wants to say, just like that. Just in Oxford English, just shoots it right at you. Just
Oxford English.
Oh yeah. Oh, he was a Rhodes Scholar, too.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, he went to Keble College over there. And, boy, everything is right out of the... That's an amazing world in that house for him. She's one of 4 daughters.
One of 4 daughters?
Yeah, and they're all just as... They're not snobby or anything like that at all. They're really nice ladies, but they're all just portly and stately and refined and just as... Oh, just... They go out... We go out to ride or go in a cave. You go caving on a caving trip, spelunking. And she'll have on the clothes that just... to go in a cave. Or to go riding. So, yeah, I mean, you know, every wrinkle is right in place, you know. Shoes polished. Hair just exactly right.
I mean, you saw this person's radio?
Oh, every day.
She old? What age is she?
She's 19.
19? Well, you talk about her, she's...
Well, she certainly acts more than 18.
Yeah.
19.
Yes.
She acts way more than that.
Okay, but I didn't know.
She has a sister who's 14, and she never knows 14. She's 25 at least.
Yeah.
just the way she carries herself and the way she dresses. Just is not, she's just untypical of a girl 14. She's not talkative, you know, running about the house little girl 14. No, she's just as stately as all the rest. 14 years old.
Well, I never
once this whole summer did I ever see any of them in the same set of clothing.
Hmm.
Never did I see the same dress.
Twice.
Never once. I couldn't believe it.
Well, they kind of, they
stand too. Well, I went over there that, I can play their game. I've been used to it from Richmond.
So,
yeah, well, I had to sort of fake around with my clothing. But, no, I got along very well with them. As a matter of fact, it was a real shock. It was a real vote of confidence for me when he asked me to do his horses, because he's got these 8 magnificent thoroughbreds. They're hunters and jumpers and things. They're really his. I mean, his daughter rides one of her, the rest are his. For his brothers and all that come up to ride, hunt, you know, and all.
And hunt.
Yeah. And there's several ladies on the mountain that teach English riding and have classes and all. Very expert instructors and all in English. And they've all asked him to, because when he's gone 9 months a year, he's only there in the summer before he stays there. They all asked him if they could use their horses in their classes, and, or if they could use them or exercise on anything. You know, he just turns them down flatly every time. He doesn't want anybody bothering his horses. And then, I didn't even ask him. He asked me if I wouldn't keep his horses exercised. I felt very good after that, because...
Now, where does that put Ajax?
Oh, well, that didn't do anything for him. He even offered me one of the stalls. He could just have what he wants.
For Ajax?
Yeah, bring me any horses I want. If I want to bring 30 horses up, he can have the stalls
built. How do you think Ajax would like one of those?
Well, I don't know. Who might? I don't know. Oh, there's tons of pasture. Every stall is backed up with a separate pasture. Yeah, these little... They have a great big row of stalls. And each stall is a regular stall in the front, but in the back there's a back door out of each stall with a lane going out to their separate pasture. And no pasture borders on another pasture. There's always a lane in between every pasture, so no horse can ever get to any other horse across the fence.
Ah.
None of it's barbed wire.
They just don't tempt
it's
them.
All paneled, whitewashed.
Just big fun. And he's from Virginia, and this is just a summer home.
They call Swanee their home.
They do call
him. He was the dean of the seminary at Swanee.
Oh.
And the seminary at Alexandria, the Virginia seminary, near about folded, and they needed some good people right quick, so he volunteered to go up there for a couple of years help them out. And so... That's not permanent. That home really is their permanent home, but they're not there for a couple of years now. In the winter.
Well, his wife living?
Oh, yeah. She's another one of those. Looks like a duchess or something.
Immaculate.
They have 18 cars. Oh, you wouldn't believe it. Here's a really funny one. When they're gone in the winter, I mean, nobody is there at this big mansion I have. It's as big as the administration building in Gainesville. They're not living there, but they still keep the whole staff of servants, and they leave 3 cars there at the house with a different one parked in front of the house each day. They rotate them and leave just one of the cars parked in front of the house each day, but a different one. And they have these electric eye lights that come on in the whole house when it gets to be certain dark, so that you can never tell that nobody's there. It looks like somebody's there all the time. The grass is cut every day. All the shrubbery is cut back every single day. The servants are all there, a complete staff. They got 6 yard men and 3 maids and 2 cooks and and they're all kept up during the whole, except the one head cook, the lady they have, they take with them to Virginia. All the rest day, the chauffeurs, everybody. And all they do is just sit around and move the cars one a day. So that when you drive by the house, you look and there's a different car and you think somebody's there. It's all the appearance to make it look like there's somebody in the house. The lights come
people
on at night.
Have money.
All through the
All through the year, every day of the winter.
Now you've been how?
What? They gave, he gave me a key to the house, by the way.
You
so
got a key to the house?
He said, now, when you keep these horses exercised, I better show you. And so, Willard, you know, Willard comes in. Show this gentleman to the, what did he call it? He didn't call it the tack room, he called it something else. It was the name for the room. And so we walked over there, and walked into this room about as big as these three put together, and it was just lined with English saddles, the whole wall, and bits and bridles and just wool, everything. Tons of leathers and side saddles even, and things like that.
Oh,
and
okay.
He said, now, when you ride, you find the saddle that fits you the best, and the bit that you like the best, and just use those. And here's the key. And so I had the whole house. So I had to work.
Great.
But
here's the key.
Here's
the place where you can get the saddle anytime you want to ride.
Right, anytime I want to ride.
Yeah. And you could pick out the horse.
Pick out the horse and the saddle and the bridle.
But
anytime.
You didn't do that.
Well, this is for my use this winter.
You haven't got two
that. Haven't got two that. And then he gave me a list of all his phone numbers up in Alexandria. His private office phone, his office phone, and then his home phone, his private home phone, and the other number, and the if no answer dial so and so number, and if no answer dial this one. About 10 numbers he gave them all to me. If anything goes wrong, to break a leg or something, call me. Collect.
But the main thing is he asked.
That was really a shocker, and then giving me the keys to the house. There was a bunch of things that were really out on a limb. I don't know whether Ellen put the pressure on. But anyway, I got to him one thing. I was out there with his horses one day, and I noticed that his best thoroughbred, a gray, beautiful gray, was awful thin. And I said, it's not thin to me. He said, yeah, I don't know what the problem is. Been kind of thin this summer. I hadn't been able to build them up. So I started showing something I know I learned from Miss Davis, you know. So let me see your feet. He took me over his old 3 feet stuff, you know. And so I said, use crimped oats. Like Miss Davis said. More protein and less fat. You know, and I rattled off some of these things Miss Davis said about thoroughbreds, how you have to feed them special things, you know. Because they're hot blooded and all. And, so he would say, oh, yeah. And so he really, I went up on him for knowing something that he didn't know about his thoroughbred. And so he was kind of impressed with that, I think. So,
Nick.
I'm glad I learned that stuff from Miss Davis.
Yeah, you can just play Miss Davis against.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that's right.
Had a head groom, a
higher
groom.
Oh, he does. Oh, yeah. He has all those people that can, that have ordinarily exercised the horses before. All the time before, but now.
Well, now, are they all college graduates?
Who, the daughters?
No, they're
groomed. Oh, I don't know. No, they're all colored men. The whole staff's colored.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Except for there's a couple of yard men that are white. But,
well, you know, Nick, it might be useful to a man like that to have a fellow like you, because you know, you can pick up.
Well, you know, yeah,
kids.
I thought of that too. He, there was a couple things.
You know something?
Oh.
Yeah, go ahead.
He, one of his horses had pink eye. And so,
horses, though.
I was telling him a little bit about that. And, I usually make it go away and it wouldn't go away at all. Like that. There was another thing he didn't know. He was all worried.
I don't know anything about it.
Well, you never have. Oh,
I didn't
know
a horse had pink eye.
Oh, yeah. They get it. They get it just like cows do.
You know, I had the worst outbreak of pink eye I ever had.
That's what I heard.
And the cows were the healthiest they'd ever been, which went clear against my view of the world.
Just big, fat, nice cows.
That is funny.
After a while, I was watching the face of about half of them, and never tell you. Oh, never that much. Four or five at a time.
Tell you.
Well, that's all we did to his horse. And it cleared right up.
Yeah.
That's all we did to his horse. It cleared right up.
Yeah.
He was worried that his horse might lose his eye.
Well,
I told him, no, it wasn't any problem. And then when it happened, he was all the more impressed. I predicted it right. Yeah. Well,
I got Mr. Weaver and Cookie sort of working against each other. I mean, these cows.
Oh, really?
And they helped me more than that. And it was much simpler than I thought it was. You know, the cow's hoof. Right in between them, they've got a strip of flesh with no hair on it. And it's the first time in my life I ever saw it irritated. And what happened apparently, you see, it's that we've just been having grass rains, and the water, there's no water out there in the swamp. And they have to chug out through the little water hole. And that old muck got fungus in it and everything. And eventually, see, it gets irritated. And I noticed two or three of them limping. And it was several days before I found out that they were all irritated. They hadn't got to the point where they were limping. Pappy limped first. And that's what it was. And Mr. Weaver, he knew right off what to do. He said, just put salt on it. Salt poultice. And it would draw that right out. Cookie said the same thing.
So he did?
Yeah.
And it did?
Yeah, it did.
Except for this one, it's real bad.
Well, that's an exception. I didn't know I lost track of her.
Oh,
she
stayed
down
out
back there for a week or 10 days, and I didn't know she had it.
But she'll come around, won't she?
Yeah, she's about pretty fast. Well, now, animals like that, though, you see, the grooms that will watch them so much.
They don't have much problem.
They won't have a problem. If I'd watch these, just going out there at ordinary inspection, like I have done from time to time, I'd have noticed it. But I look at them, I didn't want to see it.
They just look so fat and pretty and nice that you just didn't want to see anything else. You didn't see it.
Right.
Didn't look for nothing. Never had anything. So I didn't see how you had thought. Well, what does the girls have many friends around in the whole in that 20? Are they not looked upon as being
familiar?
They're
everybody in the whole town loves them.
Those are girls, and they mix and mingle with them.
Oh, yeah.
With all of the old.
Mm-hmm.
They brought up there?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they were brought up there, of course. They naturally would be.
Well, you know them then?
I just knew of them, really, before.
Yeah.
I think I maybe met them before, but this is the first time I come into close contact with them.
Well, how'd you get in touch with them?
Mm-hmm. Well, the first... They went off to... He took that position at the seminary up there.
Yeah.
The beginning of my sophomore year, that meant they weren't here for 3 years during the winter when I was there. And they were in the summer when I was gone.
Yeah.
But in my freshman year, they were still there and when I was there, and I met them, I think. I remember meeting them all then. But only once. And then when this summer when I was up there, the first time I came in contact with him again was I was riding one day, riding Jimmy's horse. And I came upon Ellen riding alone on her horse out in the woods along some path. And got talking. And I had remembered meeting her, 4 years ago.
So it just came all about.
And so,
right.
She was riding the horse that had the pink eye thing, and she was worried. And I told her I'd come out and help her with it or something. And her daddy was out there the next day, and that was when that happened. And then from then, ever since then, I always. All summer. That was right at the beginning of summer.
Well, she got you into things, didn't she?
Yeah. I'm afraid it was her that talked her daddy into that, into wanting me to do this thing with her horses.
Yeah. And now, how'd you get into this filling thing? Was that through that too?
No, that was, I had that last semester I had a course under the president of the university, who's a cousin of mine too, and I always known him. They're old friends, and I had a course under him too that last semester. And I knew that this was his last year.
Oh, wait a minute, I was getting mixed up. There's two different people, Ellen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Press, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the house building was not even connected with Ellen.
Yeah.
She would come over to the house while we were building a lot.
Well, Nick, that, I think what's in demand now, Anchorage can't compete with that. I think that's what's in demand. Keep in touch with these horses.
Yeah.
And you don't get your vocabulary up.
Boy, talking with him, you got to. I'm sort of nervous. Wonder if my English was right, just right. Talking with these old bums around the country. I got off in the sloppiest English talking with these people around, out in the country, talking like they did.
Well,
I was embarrassed talking to him because I was sure I was going to make some terrible grammar mistakes.
He's not so scholarly, he's cultivated.
Yeah, that's true.
Huh?
Yeah, that's right. He's scholarly too.
Well,
but he's really cool. He's really cultivated, all right.
I mean, a scholar in the professional sense. He's more cultivated.
Yeah. More just a country gentleman than
you don't get that much, do you? You run into it, might be.
I just had a little bit of it there in Richmond.
Yeah.
But not anything like this, even in Richmond.
Now, you see, even it's funny that with the undergraduates, all those people are scholars, you see.
Yeah.
And they don't have a cultivated instinct.
No, that's right.
Mr. Lytle had it one time.
Long time ago.
But he's just too brainy.
That's right.
Huh?
Yeah.
He just,
that's right.
He's just too brainy.
Yeah, there's nobody else like that up there.
Yeah.
No.
Well, you're lucky just to get a little touch of it. That's a
nice little touch.
Yeah. Now, see, you don't need to be a scholar yourself to appreciate it. I mean, you can just be cultivated yourself. See? I'm just talking. I'm not telling anything.
Yeah.
Well, help me out. I haven't run into anything like that.
Well, there certainly aren't many.
Not
yet. The
the talk I hear is better out here in the country than
here. Yeah. That's the funny thing about him. When he's away from his house and his mansion, he's a different sort of. When he's out downtown or out somewhere else, he's not like he is. You never know that he was what he is. You just met him on the street.
Oh, really?
No, he can bring himself down to anybody's level, I think. Because I remember seeing him at the church, mingling with the crowd, and he just was like any ordinary. There was none of this regalness about him like was it when he gets in his house. When he gets there, everything changes.
Now, you don't type.
Yeah.
He's a professional type.
Yeah, but you don't type what you think. You just type of the page.
Well, depends on how much I got to say and how important it is. I have done that before, put down things that I wanted to remember, what I was thinking about.
I'm not talking about the things worth remembering, I'm talking about reporting, you see. Like that Thanksgiving, but you don't have to build up for Thanksgiving, you see. I go on my rounds here, you see, and talk with them 15, 20 minutes, and I just got to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
So you've been in this other world, and you've had a pretty good glimpse of it.
You get enough English down here. You come by here once or twice a year, and I'll fill you up with English. I give you all English. You don't use what you got, you see. And you use this other stuff.
Yeah.
I don't be a damn fool now.
Well,
I mean, you just go in the direction. You see where that's spot on. I don't know how to do that. Nobody's going to come around and give me the keys to the couch here.
Get me to tear down the house and rebuild it.
Tear down the house and rebuild.
What are you going to do?
You going to stay with us tonight?
Well, I don't know.
He's kind of lazy, dude.
You can sleep in the house, or I think it might be better to step upstairs. You might be cooler.
What, in the trailer?
Not sure about
you sleep in the trailer if you want to. It's made up.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, that'd be less trouble.
The roof slept in his life, and
there's so much bed upstairs.
I gotta get off in the morning. I got them.
You gonna play tennis tomorrow?
Yeah, that's it.
On a sore foot.
They signed me up without me knowing it.
Always leave it.
It's that Labor Day tournament.
Oh, yeah.
And see, that I won it last year, so the committee that makes up those things just presume that I would be back since I won it last year. And they just put me down and then informed me that I was entered.
Well, that's no red tape about
it. No red tape.
Last year you was worried about money. Last year. Labor Day.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah, it's, I'm hoping it'll heal overnight.
Well, if you'd like to sleep a few hours here, you can do it, or if you think you need to go on. Just so we know that you're going to come back and take your animal with you.
Oh, I'm certainly going to do that.
Oh.
I don't know. I may go up to New York day after tomorrow.
That's that
other tournament.
Have you been
but
playing
also
in the summer, you said?
Yeah, I've been playing a little bit in the summer. Haven't played.
She does play, though.
Mm-hmm.
So. You want to go back home, you probably
would. Yeah, I got to go by there, too.
Yeah, you got to go by there, too.
But, see, I've got to take sister back to school.
Oh, yeah.
Along about the 10th or 11th or something, September.
They just use the time to do sisters.
Yeah. Well, I gotta go back up there anyway. Because I gotta see that guy's barrier when he comes. Make sure he does put the fuse on right. Because I'm sure all of his servants make little reports, and if they made it in their little report that I wasn't there, I'm sure that would be bad.
They're going
to be sure to be there at 9 o'clock on Saturday to watch the guy put the horseshoes on. But, so long about the 11th or 12th or so, got to take sister to school, but I was thinking I might come up before then. If there's any time, I can find some time. Now that I'm not taking classes, I sort of much have the winter. I'm not confined by the weekdays. I can take off.
That's more like it.
I can take off now during the week, anytime, go anywhere.
Yeah.
I'm going to take Mr. Lytle's course, so, which is offered at night, one day a week. I'm going to sit in on that.
Yeah,
one course. That's
yeah.
Be
one course.
Well, after all, one course, but look what it is.
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah, that's what I'm going to be doing.
But you're not gonna make any records out of those things, and you don't report on it.
Well, I made that one tape. Was that any good? Did you hear
yes.
that? That one of Mr. Lytle?
Yes, it was just mediocre, but it's better than nothing. Yeah.
You mean
but you see, you need a commentary to go with it.
Yeah. You mean how was it mediocre so I know how to do it better? Was it mediocre on quality or mediocre what he said or what?
No, I wouldn't say what he said to me over that, but I wouldn't fuck with the quality. It was what you call a working tape.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't listen to it to soothe your nerves, but it could just make it.
Yeah,
working tape.
That's right, yeah.
But for working tape, you see, you ought to work it up.
I see, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, you see, all these little things, Cookie sat here this afternoon and talked about Clay.
Bullard.
He said just out of the blue sky before he left. He's eating there just a little bite before he left. And he looked up and he said, I sure would like to tear into a few of them up there. Oh, he says, in a number. Well, he says, you talk about him, and he looked up, he's brightening all the time, and he said, oh, that's a long story. Well, I said, line it out. Well, he said it happened 20 years ago. And what it was, Clay Bullard was a banker. And he and Cookie's daddy were in business together. And he'd inquire around and find a bunch of cattle and send Mr. Cook and Cookie out to look at them. And they'd be out in the swamp or they'd cross the mountain and see on a footpath or a dog path. They'd come back and report to him, and he says, all right, here's the money, go buy them. So that's what he remembers. That's pretty rough life, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And he told, I said, well, now how, that's how he got you. And he said his daddy got him. So he gave several cases about his daddy worked him over. He had an old cow. Big old cow one time that just was gentle, fought around the bucket, but every now and then she'd take a notion that she wouldn't be milked and she'd kick the hinges off. And Clay Ballard's brother-in-law wanted a milk cow. And they just put that in the truck and took it down there, and he'd glad to get it. But some little time, they heard from him. And you know, they got another one. See, I don't know how in the world they do it. He said that daddy had this bull now. He had this that's one of his mistakes. He says that has been one of his great mistakes. Says he's got a 6-strand fence that the billy goats can't get through. But that Charley don't pay a bit of attention to it. Well, I said, how are you going to get him down there? He says in this little truck. He just put a ring in his nose and tie him down and send it down. Well, anyhow, you see, that's the sort of thing that's in his mind. Now, that's, what did I tell him today?
Huh?
What was I telling him about reporting?
Yeah. Reporting? Lionel,
all right. Now you see, I've got to line that out on a piece of paper. I can't just leave it on tape. Be perfectly incomprehensible.
Mm-hmm.
But you are too damn lazy. Mentally. Mentally, you just too lazy.
Well,
you build a 3-story house, but you won't build a 3-story typewriter.
Well. Now that I'm through building houses, maybe I can build some typewriters.
You have to have the urge. I don't know what made Ms. Rawlins and people like her. You see, there was something in the air that made them, you see, and now there's something there that makes them not. I don't know what it is. I have not the faintest idea. Except that I see the gifted people don't go in that direction. They hire out, they work for the institution, and pretty soon you see they.
Yeah.
You'd think that.
That's true. That and it was
it was one of the most lyric old things. I can't tell you what was in it, but just an old, hard, muscle preacher, you see, in the Midwest, and no sensibilities, at least in my sense of it. And there was that beautiful little son. It was one of the most touching things I've ever seen. But you see, I played it in class one day. Just so. And you know, they jumped on him both feet. They say, that fella got no sense. Get a face like that. Well, they had no way of knowing. They thought he was a young man, middle-aged. They didn't know what he was. He'd been retired quite. And he'd been to school all his life. He was learned, his ministers go. And they would have to have commentary to get into it. Just like you would on one of Mr. Lytle's stories.
Mm-hmm.
Flannery Conner. It's simply not possible to get into any, in my view, any artistic piece without just a plain prose commentary. Just set out your typewriter and put on what's in it. That's right. Make the tape and say what's in it. And then you got that's interesting. The only trouble is you get so much experience you can't it forms you. And don't you know Colonel Higginson kept saying to Emily Dickinson that she ought to get out where she could see life, and she kept telling him, you know, that she had so much life already that she couldn't see it. And she had to hide. She had to hide. You see, her sensibilities are so great. With that raw experience, you see, she was smart.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow she had to limit herself so that her mind would work a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is that works, you see, with you, when you get too much experience. Just raw experience, raw experience, raw experience. Not your mind. You go to a movie, that's what I tell the person. But they don't want to look at the one they've been to. They want to go to a new one. I don't know what that is. I just don't know. So you build one sink, and you just keep building them. And, I mean, anyway, you look at it. See, Faulkner talked about that in the Hamlet, but nobody I have seen so far knows that he talks about that in the Hamlet. And that's the chief burden of Radcliffe. His inquiry. Radcliffe's inquiry. In the Hamlet. And it's too much for me. Emily said, you see, that it's not the perception that gives truth, but it's the artistic use of it. It's using it, you see, handling it. You can have all the experience there, and it doesn't help you unless you handle it. And by handling it, that means putting it on your typewriter or reporting on it, you see, like that. Now, Ellen doesn't know that.
No.
But she might be gifted, you know, if she had a little sense of it.
I think she's probably is. She's extremely intelligent.
Well, intelligence, there often more than likely is, it makes it more difficult for
them. Yeah, that's true. But then again, it depends on how it is.
Like Dean Surratt, I've heard him say, you know, that the old B students were the ones that did the best in Vanderbilt in his time.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have B students anymore. They're all A's and A pluses.
Mm-hmm.
In Vanderbilt. So, you see, the world is so brilliant, and the brilliant stand in the way.
Well, you see, instead of putting it down, I could just come down here and talk to you, and you can do it, and I wouldn't have to do it.
I think God would help him. I think before you can do much, I think you've got to be close to what you know my term the critical. Critical superstructure. You see, I got all that critical background from Emerson, and I worked at it. You see, but it's not just me working. You see, I've worked with look how many groups,
mm-hmm.
and most of them have more sense than I have. And I picked up no end of things from it. See, so I'm sort of
mm-hmm.
and. I think that's right. I think you've got to have a little critical superstructure. More than you see, you don't have time to do it. And it just takes so long. The background takes such a background.
Mm-hmm.
And Suzanne's been working out here this summer. And it's, you know, for one thing I noticed, she gets so discouraged when she sees what there is, and she's right perceptive, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When she sees those things and sees that she has never seen them before, and how much there is to see, and she got to rush home and put food on the table for them. You see, they've got all those small commitments.
Yeah, right.
You don't have
them. Not yet, no.
Well.
Except if you manufacture them.
That's true. So I'm sure you manufacture a lot.
But keep clear of them, you see. Keep clear of
them. Yeah, but each one leads to that nice thing.
You see, you ought to be able to put a dog poster on that.
Are you 23?
Now that's a tempting thing. You see, Yeats wrote in his poetry, you see, that the young, you see, so enamored with their. The young don't have the protection, the caution. They don't. They're too trusting. They trust institutions, and all the institutions you see will swamp you. Not a single one of them is worth a hoot. Not an institution. You'll drown. Any institution will drown. You see, you've got to fend against it. Position of doubt is your only salvation. You can go up there and tend to the man's hoofs. You gotta say all the time, here I am, fretting away my time on this man's old fool horses. You see, you've gotta take a position of doubt to keep your mind working. And then you make something out of it. Position of doubt. You see, that's not the conservative position. conservative position is mostly flat-headed. People with much mentality never maintain it. This fella on Channel 5, he's about as flat as anybody you get. What's his name? You know, the man who's so smart.
Buckley?
Buckley. He not got 2 cents. Not in a, he not got anything. His use of the language is like Vice President
Agnew.
It's just about on par with Agnew. He don't know half the words he uses. Now you see, I'm old. Now, where did I start from, Blake?
And you could have a rebuttal if you
want, because no, your position is entirely different thing, you see, from any of all of that other stuff. Position of doubt, that's why you get your salvation. You don't want to save the country, you want to save yourself. Well, now you see, that's your superstructure. Now that's not telling you anything, you see, it's just shaking you up. You see, you know the thing that you're saying, one of the things, very simple thing, one of the things that happened to Suzanne. She was a senior and junior, I forget what she was. I think she was a junior then. Oh, she was a senior then, yeah. In the fall, you see, she'd been down here 1 year. And this was the senior year then. And she had all these nice courses, and she'd already shown that she could make A's. That's Kathy, isn't it? That's Kathy.
Yeah, that's
she missed her handsome brass. And she was in all these courses, and she was just sort of at loose end. They drove up, you know this, you heard me tell me. She drove up out here one Sunday, and I was going out front lane. And she hopped in this old red car with me, and I was going over to tape some country music at Louis Graham. And when I got over there, I thought she'd be bored to death, and her eyes started to sparkle. She got right bright eyes, you know. All she heard when she went to the Cape for Jim was that damn old Western music. Jim even liked it and brought it back up here, you see. So she was familiar with it. And on the way home, it came up. What is it they see in it? And the one thing that made it possible for her to live with them down there, actually, and take an interest in them, is they see Georgia. And they never lived in Georgia. They left Georgia before they were old enough to know what it was like. But they wanted to go back. And you know the story of that. Buell bought up a place up there and all like that. She pursued that. And that put life in her for the fall. Just that one little point. You see that old cheap music. It cheapened them. Until, you know, she could make contact with it. And what they see in that is,
I'm not out there with you one night to tape that. Tape Louis singing.
Yeah. That gospel singing, wasn't it?
Yeah, that wasn't. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's
and then
right.
We went back to the.
Yeah.
She got in. Did you know the Grand Ole Opry had, was it on a chain?
No.
Yes. They put out. You can have a little community thing. And people paid.
No, I didn't know.
Yeah, they did that. And she got in on that. She's not above. She made a lot of money. She's not above making a little more, you know. And I don't think she did.
She got in on that, huh?
Yes.
Hmm.
But anyhow, she was right, you know, a community.
Mm-hmm.
Spirited,
mm-hmm.
Right. abandoned it over there, mm-hmm. but I never made contact with her, actually. She was much more interested than the weightlifters. What do you call them? The weight people?
Mm-hmm.
Weight watchers.
Oh, yeah.
There she was, and anything I had to offer.
Boy's got to go and play tennis tomorrow. He doesn't decide where he's going to sleep. Upstairs or in the trailer.
Lenny
slept upstairs.
My old trailer placing
in. Just go into the old trailer and do just like you want to.
If it's all made up,
yes.
I don't. I had to get up at 5.
Oh, Lord.
I got up at 5:30 this morning.
You got 5:30. Beat your way.
Oh, Lord.
I think they must have gotten up at 5:30 and took them. Been on the beach. Been walking on the beach.
The end of town run over, and the end of the visit with Nick. This visit at supper, the Thursday night, the 2nd of September, 1971. Channel 2 right, channel 1 over, channel 1 over, channel 1 over, the end of channel 1 over, and the end of the visit with Nick at supper, this Thursday night, the 2nd of September, 1971. Channel 1 over, the end of channel 1 over, and the end of the visit with Nick this Thursday night at supper, the 2nd of September, 1971. The end of channel 1 over, and the end of the visit with Nick this Thursday night at supper, the 2nd of September, 1971.